Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. Right now, you're about to listen to a message from our current series. Thanks for tuning in today.
I want you to open your Bibles to Romans 1. Romans, the first chapter. We've been teaching on the subject of faith. And last week, we talked about the faith of Abraham and wanted to continue in that subject because there's so much to say about it. But the Bible says that Abraham was, he was given the honorable title of the father of our faith, meaning you could look at his life, and through studying his life, you could understand, number one, the presence of faith, and number two, the power of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, everyone. Amen. You can understand the presence of faith and the power of faith by studying his life. Abraham was known as the father of faith for three reasons. Number one, he believed in the unseen eternal God. Amen. He was not a worshiper of idols. Number two, he believed that what God had promised him would come to fruition, even though he didn't know it at the time, would take 25 years. 25 years, not 25 days, not 25 weeks, not 25 months, but 25 years. Amen. And then on from then on, he still had to believe God in his life, which he did. In this series, and then number three, he was willing to wait for it. He let patience have its perfect work. He was willing to wait for the promise of God to come to pass. He didn't try to manipulate God, trying to push, God to do something. He just simply waited on God, served God faithfully until it came to fruition. In this series, we also learned that for God to reap the promises of God, it would require steps of faith, steps of faith. And that is true for every believer. The moment they begin their Christian journey, it will be required of you steps of faith. And I've said this through the years, but it really is true. Years ago, Randy trained me way back many, many years ago. And he would push the envelope, just push and push me until I'd get just sick to my stomach. Then he'd laugh. He'd think that was funny. But anyway, just push me because he wanted me to get stronger. So he kept pushing me beyond the envelope, something, I can't lift that. But he pushed me until I was able to lift weight that I didn't think I could lift. But it's amazing how that a lot of times we face adversity, and adversity is far stronger than the faith, the measure of faith that we have at that moment. And so God wants us to grow from faith to faith, which we'll see from the scriptures, so that whenever whatever comes our way, we have the inward empowerment to overcome it and conquer it. Can you say amen to that? If you haven't practiced your faith on a headache, it's going to be hard to practice your faith on cancer. So you have to grow in your faith on a daily basis, and we know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing NBC, CBS, and Fox. No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone looked at the other guy and said, I didn't know that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. So each step of obedience from Abraham brought him closer to what God had promised him. And he promised him two things. Genesis 12, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And in Genesis 17, I have made you the father of many nations or ethnicities, okay? Now, in Romans, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul writing to the early church in Rome, we shared this last week, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the power of God, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the upright shall live by faith. And I said this earlier, but it really is true. If there is a lack of power in the church, the body of Christ, listen, the body of Christ, both corporately and individually, if there's a lack of God's power, it's because we have not been propagating the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel of Christ is the power of God. Did you hear me? The gospel of Christ is the power of God. And and we know just by, they've done studies how I think it's even less than 1% of Christians nationwide have ever led someone to the Lord, one person to the Lord. So you can see when a church begins to wither and die, it does so because all there's left is a bunch of old people and everybody else is gone. And therefore, the vision of the church dies and the church dies. But thank God that that's not here at Faith Family Church. But you have a part to play in the kingdom of God, and that is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it's there the power of God lies. The power of God doesn't lie in the political political party. Power of God doesn't lie in financial success. The power of God lies in you preaching the good news to people. And the moment you open your mouth and you share the good news, the power of God is released in that person's life so God can change them into his glory and image, or image and glory. Can I have an amen to that? I just wanted you to see that. So anyway, the just or the upright shall live by faith. He says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So as Abraham grew from his foundational faith, the moment he got saved, amen, to greater faith, not only was he able to believe God for the impossible, he was able to obey God for the impossible. Isn't that good? Believing, obeying. Those are the two keys. It's not good enough just to come here and say, yeah, amen, pastor, I believe that. And then you don't go, and you go out there and you don't apply it to your life. Revelation knowledge is given to you for a purpose. It's for you to apply it to your life so that applying it to your life, it will change your life. Amen. Amen. I said amen. So while he was on his faith journey, he became, number one, a man of prayer. Number two, a man of principle. And number two, a man of persistence. Hallelujah. Well, what that means is Abraham didn't let go of the promise even when he had every reason to. And again, he waited 25 years for this promise of having a child that God made to him. And I said this in the first service, but it really is true. Every year he got older. And every year he got older, the promise got a little bit farther away from him. Every year, his body got older. Every year, older and older, until he was incapable of himself to make this miracle happen, okay? And yet, the Bible says he put his faith in God that God would do the impossible. Not only could do it, but would do it. And of course, we know at 99 years old, we'll read it. At 99 years old, and Sarah was 90, they saw the fulfillment of what God had promised them. But listen, this is so important in life. Everything that God promised Abraham had to do with the eternal plan of God. It wasn't about, and I've said this through the years, Abraham in Genesis 13 was the wealthiest man in the earth. But even his wealth didn't come between him and the vision that God had given him and the promise God gave him. He didn't allow his success to supersede God's plan for his life. Amen. 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 He stuck to what God had. He lived in tents. He was a Bedouin. A Bedouin is a shepherd who simply takes his flock and moves from territory to the next to feed his sheep. He lived that way. He could have built a castle. He was so wealthy, he could have built the best, most beautiful home, but the Bible said that wasn't the case for Abraham. Why? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So he always had his focus on the eternal. Amen. Always. Not on the temporal. So just like Abraham, you and I are required to grow from faith to faith. Hallelujah. Why? For greater battles, you need greater faith for greater victories. How many want victory in your life? I want victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it comes through your spiritual growth. So let's go to Romans 4:13. Here we go. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity, which is future generations, that he should inherit... And I put here in parentheses, salvation, that he should inherit salvation for the whole world, did not come through observing the commandments of the law, but through the righteousness which is of faith. The New Living Translation, verse 14. Now, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, that was the Jews, right? Then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. Why would the promise be pointless? Because they never could keep the law. And all the law did was bring condemnation, judgment, and death. That's all the law did. See, God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel. Now listen, don't misunderstand me now. Can anybody tell me what the two greatest commandments are? Amen. We never understood a word they said. Thank you. It's true. For thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's the law. Say love is the law.
Love is the law.
Amen. So, but God gave them 10 commandments, knowing that they would never keep them. But the 10 commandments, according to Romans, I think the third chapter, it is the third chapter. According to Romans, the third chapter, he gave the law to Israel so that it would be a mirror reflecting back to them their need for God. They would look at the law, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's good. Everything that the law said, they were guilty of. So when they look in the mirror of God's word, then they could say, I need some help to keep these. Amen. How many agree? We all need God's help to keep the two laws, the law of love and loving one another.
Amen.
We need God's help for that. We need his, not only do we need his nature in us, we need to develop his character in a stronger way so that we do love one another. Amen. As God said for us, commanded us to. Let's go on. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. So the only way to avoid breaking the law, listen to this, is to have no law to break. So the promise of what? The promise of right standing with God is revealed by faith. It is given as a free gift, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, right? It's a gift of God, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. So by grace, we receive right standing with God. Say this out loud. I have right standing with God.
I have right standing with God.
Okay, we'll see more of that as we go on here. Amen. Hallelujah. So when it comes to our relationship with our Creator, listen. But first of all, let me quote Hebrews 4:16. Do you still have that? Crystal, can you bring that back up again in the Amplified? Oh, you're a blessing. Thank you. Hebrews 4:16. This is Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews. The Holy Ghost wrote Hebrews. Here's what he says. This is about you and I. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners. Go on. That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Say every need.
Every Amen. Need.
Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. That's one of my favorite scriptures, and I use it all the time. I remind God of that all the time. Every time I come into his throne room of grace, I quote this scripture because he made that promise to me that I could come. What the problem is, or the challenge is for most Christians, if they don't understand faith and they don't understand God's righteousness, what we do is we try to get our life together and then enter the throne room of God's grace. But you got to enter into God's throne room of grace by faith, believing that he's got the answer to put your life together. Isn't that good? That's why you come. That's why you come. You come not because you're qualified in yourself. You come because you believe in what he promised, that we could come into this throne room of grace. Hallelujah. And boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly, reverently and boldly, praise God, knowing that he gave that promise to us, that we would obtain his favor in our lives. This is so important for you as a believer to capture this, because if you don't capture this revelation, you will never come, or you will rarely come into God's presence, because you will believe you're not qualified. And you're not, in the sense of yourself. You're qualified in Christ.
Right.
Isn't that good? Yeah, you're qualified in him. That's so awesome.
Amen.
There's nothing, you know, you guys lead in praise and worship. To me, there's nothing more honorable, there's nothing more precious than when God settles his presence down on that time of praise and worship and comes and manifests his presence in your life. There's nothing, you can't pay for that.
Amen.
But you have to understand, your legal right as far as your connection to God. Amen. Verse 16. Therefore, inheriting the promise of what? Right standing with God is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. Don't you catch this? in order that it might be given as an act of grace. That's why so many people come to church on Sundays and leave unchanged, is because they don't understand how to tap into God's presence. They don't understand. So they stand in a place of, unparticipation. They just stand there. And God is desperately wanting, I mean, do something by faith. I mean, I remember when I got saved, you know, people in church, you know, I was raised in a denominational church. Anybody raised their hand, the ushers sent them out. I mean, here I am, you know, newly saved. And I mean, first I'd lifted my thumbs. I got them up, praise God. And then from there, you know, began to get the hand. But it just took time. I wanted to praise God, but I just didn't quite understand the whole platform for that. Didn't understand, you know, that I had a right to do that because of Jesus and not because of me. Can I have an amen? So, watch this. So, let me start over. Inheriting the promise of right standing with God is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on your faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace or God's unmerited favor, to make it stable, valid, and guaranteed to all his descendants, Jew and Gentile. Not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, that's the Jews, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. Again, just to help you out, Abraham wasn't a Jew. Just to help you understand that. He was a Gentile. But because of his faith, God raised up a nation from his loins, which became the nation of Israel, which are Jews. All right, just to help you out there. So he was just like us. He was a Gentile. Amen. And but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus father of us all. Us all who need saving. Okay? As it is written, here it is. Here's the scripture. I have, past tense, made you the father of many nations. See, he said that he made that promise 25 years before it came to pass. And God was saying, Abraham, I have faith in you that you're going to have faith in me. That's awesome. I have faith in you that you're going to have faith in me. So I'll just simply say, I have made you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's done. How many want that God to have that kind of confidence in us? God can say, I can use him. I've got faith in him. That he'll have faith in me. That's good stuff. Amen. Praise God. I didn't write that down. That just came by the Holy Ghost. It's still good. Hallelujah. So, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. That's Genesis 17:5. Now, he was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom Abraham believed, who gives life to the dead. Let's talk about spiritually. He gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. So this right here is exactly what faith in motion looks like. He believed God, Abraham, and as far as God was concerned, it was finished. It was done. Amen. See, it was the same beautiful words that came out of Jesus as he hung on the cross. The last words were, it is finished. At that moment, he fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law of God. He fulfilled everything that God had promised to do, and that ultimately would become a sacrifice for our sins. But man, when he said it is finished, man, he even said that by faith. Because he could have said, I'm finished. But he didn't. He believed God's word that God would raise him from the dead. Verse 17 is the King James. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens. That word quickens means to awaken or to resurrect. Who quickens or resurrects the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Amen. And you know, in life, we don't realize that we do the same thing, but we do it to our detriment instead of to our blessing. We call those things that be not as though they were. Amen. I mean, I talked again, how about the weather? The weather report comes, and most of the times those guys are wrong, dead wrong. But we listen to them, and immediately we begin to prepare for what's not coming. We prepare for what we believe that they just said was coming immediately. We have more respect and honor for the guy that, bless his heart, the weather report. I wouldn't want to be one. And we have more faith in him that what he's saying is going to come to pass than we do with what God says is going to come to pass. And so we need to get that turned around. Can I have an amen? Amen. Put our faith more in God, but call those things up being out as though they were. You know, every year at this time, I get the flu every year. And here I got the flu again. So we all of a sudden we take on confessions that were sown into our lives, and we begin to talk and rehearse and resurrect and bring to life the death that was sown into us. And so we have to watch what we say. Can I have an amen? So for Abraham, listen to this. Number one, he took God at his word. Number two, he rested in God. And number three, he left what was impossible in the hands of God. There's some things you just cannot shut. I mean, we like to be in control, but it's best if you're just simply out of control, letting God be in control. Amen. Verse 18. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith. Did you catch that? Human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations. Watch this, as he had been promised. So he wasn't just believing on some fallacy. He was believing in what God promised him. See, you can take the word of God and you can find a promise in God's word, and you can hold on to it, remind him of it, praise him for it, and just stick to it until it comes. Now, it may not come in your timing, but it will come in God's timing. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will not pass away. Amen. So when you find a promise, whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, deliverance, whatever you need in your life, if you'll stand upon the word of God and trust him, it will come to pass. Isn't that something? We have all these programs to get us free from things, and at the end, most of them fail. I'm not putting down any program. If you need to go through a program, go through it. But ultimately, you're going to have to rise up, take the word of God in your life, say, bless God, I'm done with this. In the name of Jesus, greater is the Holy Ghost in me to set me free than some natural means. I'm just saying. I didn't get set free from the drug culture. I didn't get set free from cursing. I was really skilled in that. I didn't get set free from worry and fear, on my own. I needed God's help, and God helped me. Amen. Then he'll help you. Right. Let's go on. So here was the promise. So numberless shall your descendants be. And that's Genesis 15:5. So Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead. And he didn't weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own, because he was 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. No, and I just love this part, the Amplified. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning what God had promised. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able to mightily keep his word and to do what he had promised. He was confident that God was able to do what he couldn't do. Amen. That God was able to do in him. When I went on the road trucking back in 1972, everybody's got to live their lives, do what they think needs to be done. But, you know, we were so broke we couldn't pay attention. And so some trucker came through town. I'll never forget. His name was Jeff Jeffries. And he told me how much money he was making, you know. Well, it sounded good to me. So, man, I just went on the road trucking. I was all by myself. I weighed 128 pounds. And that means I wasn't that big. And all by myself, no GPS, a big Atlas map on my steering wheel as I went through these big cities, you know. And but every day for me, as I went on the road, every day was a day of faith. Amen. Every day I could either crumble under the pressures and the fears that I faced, or I could grow in grace and truth and be a more than, how many want to be more than a conqueror? So I, that's what I did. I began to grow in God. Now, I was just a baby Christian. I'd only been saved a year and a half. And so I was very young. I didn't know much of the Bible at all. You heard that story. I was in a tornado. I was in a storm. The tornado went through, I thought it was like Frederickson, Texas or something like that. It was a little town right down Main Street and just wiped the town out. And that storm was coming across, and I was coming across on Interstate. I don't remember now. It's the interstate that goes east to west. Is it 80 down through Omaha? No, St. Louis, Missouri. And I was on that interstate. And that storm hit my truck. And man alive, I mean, my whole truck went on its side, and I was driving, this is God's truth, I was driving on the interstate on just one side of wheels, and I was going like this, and I was going, this is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I didn't know what else to pray, but I'm telling you, something came out of me. When you're in fear, something comes out, and thank God that came out instead of, I'm going to die. Don't say that. So I was growing. I was learning how to trust God with my life, not realizing that one day we would step into, I moved people for 9 years to their physical homes, not realizing that God was calling us to get people prepared for their spiritual homes. And so we've been doing that through the years, teaching people how to trust God. Amen. And how to learn that he's a good God. He's a merciful God. But again, two things are required of you as a believer. Number one, faith, and number two, obedience. And those are the two things: faith in God's word, and then obey it, follow through with obedience. If you do, you'll learn how to grow and learn how to conquer greater obstacles in your life. If you agree, say amen. Let me finish this. We have to wind up. Oh my! These days go by, these hours go by so fast. Can we go back to California time just for a little bit? The Bible says, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. And verse 20 says this out of the King James, that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. The word stagger there means to depart or withdraw from. It means to doubt or to waver. Amen. So he had every opportunity to draw back, to doubt and to waver what God had promised. He had every opportunity because, again, every day he got older was a day in the natural, the promise was farther away from him. But he wasn't moved by that. He stuck with what God had promised him. Amen. And stayed true to the living God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 1, verse 2 says this, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, this is James writing to the body of Christ, and James is Jesus' half-brother. When your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection or spiritual maturity into every part of your being until there's nothing missing and nothing lacking. What that means is you'll be living and acting, listen, like a man of faith and a woman of faith. When you're under pressure, when you're squeezed, what comes out of you? That's only you know that. Or actually, if you're married, your husband knows that and your wife knows that. When you're really squeezed, what comes out of you? Well, if the word of God is in you, the nature of God will come out of you. Amen? But if all you do is focus on your Adamic nature, that's what's going to come out of you. Doubt, fear, and unbelief. The Message Bible says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Verse 5, this is James 1, verse 5. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, watch this, with no wavering, no hesitating, and no doubting. Amen. No doubting. God wants to give all of you the wisdom for anything and everything that you're facing in life. He has the answer. God has the answer. He's got the insight. He's got the spiritual intelligence. He's already lived what you are living. He knows exactly how to get through whatever you got to get through. So you go to him and you seek his wisdom and he'll give it to you. Everybody wants to seek the counsel of man. Why don't we seek the counsel of God and get the right counsel? Hallelujah. He's promising that. But man, there can't be any wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not that person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. So faith is required, whether you like it or not. Faith is required on your part. Everything, your entire life is in the Word of God. Your entire life. All the behaviors, all the dysfunctions, all of the challenges, all the temptations, and the good news, all of the answers for all that is right here in the Word of God. Amen. Every day I get inspired by Proverbs out of the Passion Bible. There's many translations. If you get a kick out of the King James, I really don't get a kick out of the King James and Proverbs. I mean, I'm Norwegian, so I have to have it explained really easy. And so the Passion Bible... Smile at me if you love Jesus. So the Passion Bible really brings to life the Proverbs. Really a great blessing. They'll inspire you. Really, really bless your life. So the Proverbs, it's the book of wisdom so that you can have insight that is necessary for whatever you're facing in life. That's just one area, of course. Psalms is good for you also. Amen. Now let's wind this up. Back to Romans 4, we'll finish this. So now you can see why Abraham's faith was credited to his account as righteousness before God. His faith was credited to his account. His faith was credited to his account. Boy, that's good. As righteousness before God. And this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, watch this, but also over us. For when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. Man, this is good. Why is this important? Again, you have to understand, you cannot approach God with your performance, with what you did or haven't done. You have to approach God based on one thing, that your faith is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That God has opened the door for you, that tore the veil, the curtain that separated Israel from God's presence, that Jesus tore that in half, hallelujah, so you as a believer can go right into the presence of God and receive the goodness of God in your life. Come on, give God a good shot if you believe that. I mean, that is exactly true. I do not and have never, since I've learned this, I don't go to God at all based on my performance because I always fall short. I get frustrated on a daily basis just like you do. I mean, I say stupid stuff, I do stupid stuff, and sometimes it's hard because I do stupid stuff and say stupid stuff in front of you. So when I go to God, I only go to him because I have a high priest who represents me seated at the right hand of the Father and is Jesus my Savior. Hallelujah. That's the only way I'm qualified. I'm not qualified because I'm a minister. I'm not qualified because I'm a Christian. I'm qualified because I have faith in the one who provided the means to get into God's presence. So I just want you to understand that. You have a right, and I told you this years ago, I'm at the altar, I'm at the altar kneeling and up here in the auditorium. I'm kneeling at the altar. As I'm kneeling there, all of a sudden, I had a vision, and I'm actually literally, I was like, I was carried into the throne room of God's grace, and I saw the feet of Jesus, and I reached out to touch the feet of Jesus. I didn't even dare to look up. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew I was in the presence of God. So when you go into God's presence, to the throne room of grace, you're going there. You're going there. Literally. Oh man, it's so hard to explain the spiritual realm, but it's so easy. The only curtain that separates us from the eternal realm is these bodies. Once you take these bodies off, you will step into the fullness of your redemption. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. I mean, it's going to be glorious. Amen. No more struggle with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. No more struggle with this stupid body that, you know, that just keeps fighting against everything that's God. Freed from it. But while we're on this side, it's our faith that takes us into God's presence. I want you to capture that. Because it's the only way that's what qualifies you. It's your faith in what God provided. God loves you. He wants you to come in and fellowship with him and bless him and communicate with him. Hallelujah. He wants that. He longs for that. I want you to get a hold of that because it'll change your life. Amen. Can I have an amen? I got to read this last verse. Did I read that whole verse there? Verse 23, this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but also over us. For when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account. Isn't that something? Now, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of whose sins? Our sins. And was raised back to life to prove that he made us right with God. Now look at chapter 5. The chapters, you know, are broken up for study, but when this was written, that was in chapter and verse. Okay, so let's continue with the same thought. So our faith in Jesus, watch this, transfers God's righteousness to us, and now he declares us flawless in his eyes. Catch that. Not flawless outwardly, but flawless inwardly. That's how God sees you. My kids, I love them with all my heart, my grandkids. I see the flaws in their lives because they got the flaws from us. So the flaws are external, but they're flawless on the inside. Isn't that beautiful? They're flawless on the inside. That's how God sees every one of you. Flawless on the inside. Let's finish this. So this means what? We can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. Oh, Jesus. But that's not all. Sounds like a commercial. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures. No, what? I missed this. I'm sorry. I got to go back. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. Let's stand. I want to pray for you today. And I apologize for keeping you so long. Again, let me just reiterate, you will never, listen to me, kids, we will never be good enough to enter God's presence. Never. Our goodness is our faith in God's goodness. It's our faith in his goodness. Amen. He chose to tear the veil in half so that we could come into God's presence. Amen. I want to encourage you with that because every day you're going to have situations in your life where you need help. So what do? I don't care if you're at work. Just quietly, takes 30 seconds, just quietly say, God, I just, inside, you don't have to even say words outside because of, you know, situations you're in at work. God, I need your help right now, sir. I come into your presence, I come into your throne room of grace And I ask you for wisdom. I ask you for counsel. I ask you for a help. I ask you for healing. Whatever you need, God will impart that to you because he's a good father.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.